let's talk about the KPIs for project manager. Obviously, like everyone has to have a KPI. So for the developers, it would be about the app performance, which we have checked. Maybe for another team, it would be the user engagement, or that could also be applied for the developers. But what do I put for a project manager? What are the KPIs? How would I measure the performance of a project manager? So for that, we have some KPIs over here that we are going to talk about. The first starts with average revenue per user, which is the ARPU. We've spoken about the ARPU in the past also. So let's just check the ARPU again. This metric displays how much a user spends on the app on an average during a set period, most often monthly or annually. Indirectly informs how solvent our audience is, knowing that the average revenue gained per user is essential for laying out future business and marketing plans. So let's consider a gaming app. That for a gaming app, I would have too many users on the app. Now there would be some people that are going daily and back to back on the app. In this case, I can even set the period to daily. Again, depending how exactly do I want to plan my strategies, how do I want to work with the business plan, what is the kind of business plan or marketing plan that I'm looking at. So if I have people buying and coming on the app so frequently, maybe I won't want to do a weekly or a bi-weekly tracking rather than a monthly or annually tracking. On an e-commerce website, it would make sense to do a monthly tracking or annual tracking, again depending on the amount of products it holds. Like if a website is only dealing with maybe mobile phones, smartphones or electrical equipment, the purchase might not be that frequent. But something like Amazon, which has Mega, which has everything and anything under various categories that you have, you might be going on the app more frequently, maybe even on a daily basis, then you would want to track the budget on a monthly basis. Now, why do I want to track this? There are multiple reasons for doing that. So firstly, I will take an average on how much is my user spending, because that will help me decide whether I want to invest time and energy or set up a business plan to retain this customer. If I'm barely a spending user on the app, but I'm using the app, basically, it is no profit except if I'm seeing the ads on a frequently basis. So how frequent do you want to show the apps to the user? What is the plan? And all of that will become very important over here. So how the user is spending on the app helps me decide what exactly is the future business or marketing or even a retention plan that I want to lay out. Am I willing to lose this customer, or do I want to stop something that will help me not lose this customer? So what is ARPU? It is monthly recurring revenue divided by the total number of accounts. So ARPU is an effective tool to evaluate the health of a business. Financial sustainability is especially valuable for SaaS businesses with a subscription-based model. Need to know ARPU to set reasonable subscription fees. So once I know how much an user is spending on an average or is willing to spend, I would want to keep a subscription model around that average to understand better whether that will help me get more customer, or will it help me, in other words, to help me with my customer acquisition cost. Especially like it says, for SaaS based businesses, which is software as a service, that means I basically go on to software and use it as a prescription model. It's like as simple as saying that today, if you do not have the Microsoft 365 license and you just apply for a recurring license, what will happen is you will spend about, on an average, depending on the various subscription model, it comes to about 500 or maybe odd that, depending on the kind of subscription that you take. Let's talk about another KPI for the project managers, which is the customer lifetime value or the user lifetime value. So it could be either CLTV or just LTV, which is lifetime value. Again, a matrix which is very similar to the ARPU, but viewed from a long-term perspective. How does a user spend in the app before deleting or subscribing on average? CLTV is essential for setting successful and profitable marketing campaigns. Without CLTV, it is challenging to determine what constitutes a reasonable campaign budget. Very clear, that tells us what is a calculation average revenue per user into average customer lifetime. That means how much time am I spending on the app? So this is taking a case from yesterday where I basically downloaded, saw an ad in one of the apps that I was working with, and I downloaded the app. I downloaded it and I used it for like barely 5-10 minutes. And what did I do? I just deleted it after that. Why? Because the app had too many unnecessary ads that I did not want. So I got bored of seeing the app. I was seeing more ads. So it was a gaming app. So I was seeing more ads than playing the game. Now, what happened over here, now what you do is I downloaded and deleted in 5 minutes. And I'm sure there have been multiple people doing that. So how much time did I spend in doing that? Barely 5 minutes. What happened? So this is something that means my, first of all, the customer lifetime value was very short. Secondly, which also going back to a previous metric, it shows that there is no user engagement over here. Basically, the user got bored and deleted the app. Now, what did I spend any money on the app? No, I did not. At times, what will happen is you will take a subscription-based model and you will stop the subscription. Okay, how long did I have the subscription? Obviously, when it comes to, like we said, in a SaaS-based model, it is recurring revenue for the business. If I delete the subscription, that recurring revenue has stopped. And obviously, when I calculate the customer lifetime value in terms of money, which we've discussed in another metric, is going to go for a toss because I was expecting this customer to continue for so many more time and they've deleted the subscription. So what am I doing for that? Do I need to have more marketing campaigns? What do I need to do to engage more customers? What is a reasonable budget that I want to set for things like this? Then, so that takes care of my customer lifetime value. Then I have a customer acquisition cost, which is basically how much cost did I have to invest or how much money did I have to invest to be able to give or get a new customer in. So tell me how much money business spends on acquiring new customer. This includes how much is spent to market and sell your products. Multiple formulas can be used to calculate CAC. The following is straightforward, which is sales and marketing spendings over a period of time divided by total number of customers acquired over the same period. I think so. We have discussed an example for this in chapter 2 when I actually showed you all what is the cost of acquisition for a customer. So there are, again, when it comes to, since we are talking about more specifically about mobile app analytics, when it comes to a mobile app, like I said sometime back, what is going to happen, there is going to be a certain cost to acquire the customer, to basically get the customer to install the app, and finally, after installing, to make the first purchase. Again, when I have an app, I can give notifications to the user. Most of the users do not disable their notifications. The other customer acquisition that you could consider is, instead of downloading the app, in case I have a this is only obviously if I have a mobile, a website and a mobile app, and instead of downloading the app, I directly went on to the website and made a purchase and I did not download the app. In that case, what is going to happen? I have been a customer, but am I going to be a repeat customer? Is what is the business needs to understand. So when I have an app and I download, I have a chance of getting the customer or get the customer to buy my products more frequently by flashing notifications to them. So discounts. So all of these will come in your acquisition cost. What is the cost to get the customer to install? What is the customer cost to get the customer to buy a product? And did I have to put in additional discounts? Did I have to drop the rates below what was the standard price and all of that? Conversion rate. If the goal is to primarily to acquire purchases within the app, conversion rate becomes an important metric. Thousands of millions mean nothing if they don't convert. This is what I said. I could be playing the game for ages, but if I have not made any in-app purchases, it will not make sense because there is no revenue being generated for the business. So conversion rate is equal to number of users that converted divided by the total number of users. Again, specifically over here, when I talk about the number of users that's converted divided by the total number of users, I'm talking about people who have made in-app purchases for the numerator, that is total number of users that converted. Daily or monthly active users, how many active users do I have on the app? This metrics gives value to data about active users. For example, your marketing can't be considered successful if it generates thousands of users, but very few of them use the app after they installed it. An active user generally refers to an individual who performs valuable actions within the app, including making purchases, subscribing, clicking on leads to the website. Also consider that not all apps are meant to be used daily. For example, if a user uses a meal delivery app once a week on an average, then this number would be sufficient. So there is something called as at the bottom that you see app stickiness, which is daily active users divided by the monthly active users. So like I said, if it is a gaming app and I can make purchases every day, then I would want to basically monitor what are the daily active users and how much are they spending on a daily basis. Are they making subscriptions on a daily basis? Now compared to that, on a subscription based model, what will happen is I will be generating monthly business for the user. Thirdly is clicking on leads. So maybe ads are flowing in, but am I flowing the link? Am I increasing the clicks per customer? Only when the website links go up will I get a revenue even for using my app as advertising. So that also becomes a critical matrix. Retention rate and churn rate. So what do we talk about retention rate and churn rate? The retention rate gives an idea of whether or not the app provides user value. If the users intend to return after the initial use, they would most likely find it valuable. The formula for calculating the retention rate is, retention rate is equal to customers at the end of a set time period minus new customers slash customers at the beginning of that same time period into 100. Now, obviously, when I talk about the retention rate, like I said, I could have the app, I could make one purchase and I could not use the app. That is not the retention rate. So are the users returning? That means when I go and give pop-up of notification, discount offers, new products on the app, are they returning back to the app? And that is what becomes my retention rate. So if I say on a monthly basis, customers at the end of a set time period, so suppose at the end of the month, I have 1,000 customers on my app. And the number of new customers was maybe about 100. So 900, that's a total for the numerator divided by the customers at the beginning of the same period. So at the beginning, let's say it was about 1,000 customers. So now what does it become? 900 divided by 1,000. So if you calculate, 900 divided by 1,000 would be roughly 0.9, and into 100, so about, you have about 90% people, retention rate of 90% people. You have only 10% of people who are leaving the app and going, which is good. At times it could also be 1,000, and then in the moment they are left with 500 because so many people have deleted the app. On the other hand, so that was the retention rate. On the other hand, the churn rate displays the number of customers that don't return after the initial use, which must be kept as low as possible. So the retention rate you want to keep as high as possible, while the churn rate needs to be as low as possible. So churn rate is equal to, in percentage, customers cost divided by total customers into 100. KPI for product managers can also include metrics like bounce rate, number of sessions per user, customer satisfaction score, and finally we are engaging both revenue-based KPI and user engagement-based KPIs. Again, it depends from business to business as to what do I keep the KPIs as for each and every user. So now let's talk about the mobile analytical tool features like session recording. So session recordings, some of the apps do give you an option to record the session. Why? Because it gives you information about how the user is using, what they are doing, and gives you more information about the user part of the journey. So session recordings are crucial. Many other features of analytics tools are based on them. Some mobile analysis tools record users to visualize some parts of the user journey. Moreover, some advanced analytics tools such as SmartLook record virtually everything and start recording immediately after setup. So what is going to happen is, at the back end, everything and anything that you're doing on the app in a particular session is being recorded. Why? Because it helps understand whether there is a problem, there is not a problem, what is the user behavior, how is the user using the app, and all of that. Some important session always on recording. This feature begins recording all the user interaction immediately after setup. Share recordings with timestamp note. Add a note to your recordings. For example, if you spot unusual or otherwise problematic behavior, you can tack on a note and share it with your developers via Slack so that they can fix it ASAP. Most of this will happen when you're using a beta version of an app. They will be recording on, because the beta version will require you to basically, means that you're basically using the app for testing or testing the app on behalf of the organization. So at times you will be asked to report the recording and tag a note what was the problem, or record the screen and share the recording. Additional information about a visitor. This includes information regarding a user's operating system, resolution, device. This is available information, valuable information, as there are often remarkable differences between iOS and Android user behavior. Even for that matter, we also need to understand that there is a difference even in various Android systems, because other than the stock Android, which is the raw Android that gets installed on all the Android phones, most of the companies today have their own UI on top of that. So even at that, sometimes that UI causes a problem when and differences, so that you want to be able to check those also. Another feature is events. What are events? Events can be purchases, completing or unlocking levels, page visits, etc. They can also be simple affiliate, like clicks, taps, double tap, pinching, scrolling, virtually any interaction a user can perform within the app. The best in tracking tools allow you to specify events and group them into categories, that is range, clicks, errors, link related clicks, and events can also be filtered by user characteristics and event types. So this is pretty simple, where anything that you, any interaction that you do with the mobile app is part of an event. So something like an Adobe document, I will maybe pin zoom to check, or even for me, my phone, I can zoom even a text message to check whether everything is working correctly, not working correctly, and what are the various how to check the text and all. Yes, in Giving Finder apps, it could be more of what is the purchase, in purchase that is being made, how many levels is the user you are unlocking, what is the frequency at which it is playing. So any of this can be would be categorized as event. So what does Smart Tool offer us? Custom events, event statistics, recording events from the, and one of the best factors relating to object plus action, funnels as a visual aid. So we are going to talk about all of these. So custom events, the possibility to define and screen as an event segment events with other information. Event statistics, this show you how users interact with your app over a period of time. You can choose view data from last week, month or year, or any given period. So the possibility, custom events are define any screen as an event. Segment screen, segment events with other information. So it could be, maybe I am working on a level, or I am, what am I doing on a particular part of the app or a particular functionality of the UI? How am I dealing with it? What am I trying and what is not working? How can I improve that? And all of them will come under custom event. Event statistics we've spoken about. That means how I have used the event over a period or app over a period of time. So it could depend. Do I want to view it week wise, month wise, or even year wise, or even for that matter, any given period? So I can basically modify my period to a custom period. Then I have recordings from events, which is play recordings of selected events, events as a filter to recording to watch to avoid watching recording segments that are not relevant at a given moment. An example of this that I can probably you can relate to would be if you nowadays go on to YouTube and you're maybe most of the time this happens, mostly in all videos, but in certain videos they would fragment the videos and mark the places where the crucial point is taking place. So you can actually, instead of watching the entire video, I can just go to the part that I want to watch. Maybe it could be an tutorial that you're looking at or any other information for that matter. So that the same way, I can basically now filter my event recording so that I only look at specific events and not all the events. Maybe an event which was problematic or to understand a user behavior before the event and all of that. One of the best practices related to the event setup is to name each event in the following pattern: object plus action. For example, purchase completing is clearer than purchase. This will alleviate any confusion. Now, purchase completed, that means I have done with the purchase, and purchase could be purchase order, I could be considering a purchase. There are a lot of things related to it. So if you want to eliminate the confusion, you will try to make it as specific as possible. Funnels are visual aid depict a user's journey throughout the app, including in-app purchases, completed levels, and logging in, logging out. Funnels help identify user API strong points and weak points. The data collected from the funnels is indispensable when optimizing and improving the app. So funnels are nothing but what we've been talking about, basically all things or details about the app. Which levels have I completed? What promotions do I need to pass to the user? And all of that. And am I making enough purchases? Should I give more purchase options to the user? What is the average purchase that I'm making? So, optimizing and using, improving the app. Also, it will help you to understand what is the kind of money you need to spend when you set up new levels or new in-app purchases. Common example: app registration, purchase, event-based funnels. So app registration usually looks like a user sees the welcome screen, taps register, fills in, and then logs in for the first time. Purchase: when an e-commerce or gaming app, there's typically purchase options. Insight into how users navigate the purchasing process is vital, very important to do that. That means how many screens am I clicking, how exactly am I going through with the purchase, and how many times have I gone to the purchase screen and even canceled the purchase. Even this could be event-based funnel, this could be useful when implementing a new function. For example, while setting up a new filter that allows users to filter goods according to price, businesses may want to create two funnels, one leading to a making a purchase, one for users who filter according to price and the other users who filter on recency. Simply compare and analyze to determine which new filter has positively affected your conversion rate. Does it so here the two filters that we are talking about is based on price and based on recency. So normally by default, if you see most of the times on all the apps, it is either recency or mainly rating. You can filter on purchase, because if you notice, most of the people will go for the rating rather than the cost, and they might further filter it out on the cost. So it tells you which filter is more useful. Also, it will help you, like I said, in setting up the default filter for the UI. So now let's talk about the various mobile analytical tool features. One of them we spoke about earlier is heat maps. So what are heat maps? Great way to visualize aggregated data within a single image. A heat map displays all the user interaction, including swipes, button taps, scrolls, etc. An overlay of color depicts what parts of the user's screen users interact with the most and which are neglected. Colors can vary by hue or intensity. The intensity of these color changes according to the level of the user engagement. Let's just go through it before we understand it. Heat maps are a valuable tool for improving user experience. They allow you to easily visualize your app's interface. You see how users engage with the interactive and non-interactive elements. Confirm or deny any hypothesis relating to user interaction. Form ideas about making your user interface more intuitive. Come up with ways to increase conversions. Okay, so probably the best example I can give you all for this is the latest WhatsApp and Instagram updates. So if you see, normally if you check the most used features, when you go on to Instagram and you basically try to share a post, earlier when you tried to share a post, the bottom left corner would tell you would be add to story. Now that has shifted to the second part, and it is now for the first part is saying share it to threads, and it's asking you as soon as you click on that option, it basically ask you to install the Threads app if you don't have it installed, which is the Twitter version of Instagram or the Meta base. So now what is happening? Did you see over there? What is they have basically diagnosed or were recording what parts of the screen I'm using, and this is exactly how what the heat map would tell me that what parts of that screen am I using. What parts are great to money are frequently used. So now, since I want people to use more of Threads, I've included the Threads option there. Earlier also, the Reels option came in a frequently used option. The same thing happened for channels where the updates were there and people were frequently going on to updates and WhatsApp. They now put the community option there so people can by default go on to a community. So these are how the data from the heat map would be used by telling which part is most used and which part of the screen is ignored. So which are most used, I can use them for further revenue on my screen. That means I can have people install something new or disconnect with something that is there. Then technical parameters of mobile app analytics. When choosing the mobile analytics tool that are right for the business, inspect its main features first, including session recordings, events, funnels, heat maps. Check all available software development kits before settling on an analytic tool, including other properties and tools for quantitative and qualitative analysis. API integration. It should offer API integration with other tools such as a company may be using, that is Slack, Google Analytics, Shopify, WordPress, WIX, and more. Advanced crash reporting. The tool should identify crashes autonomously and review them in real time. Secure database. Inquire about acquired data and how it's stored before settling on a analytic tool. So now, how do I select? There are so many analytical tools. We have discussed that probably every domain today has a competitor in the market. There's no domain where there's only one competitor sitting or the one person sitting. And even if there is, it doesn't take for too much time for a new vendor to come on board. Now, so when it comes to technical parameters, how do I select which tool should I use best for my analyzing my mobile app or getting the analytics of my mobile app? What parameters do I use? So probably what I can start, what do I need? Do I need the session recordings? Are they important to me? Do I need the events? Do I need the funnels? Do I need the heat maps? Again, though it says these are the main features, do you need them in your? Then additionally, obviously you would consider the cost of it. Again, you want to be able to share the information from these tools. So API integration to the apps that you commonly use is again very important. Though most of the apps do come with the API integration, but do they have the specific integration for the tool that you're working with? Advanced crash reporting. My app crashes and I get the information after 2 days. I probably will lose 100, 200 customers by then if the app is crashing continuously for 2 days. So, and if especially if it's a gaming app, it's not working, then people are going to report. So something that no, it tells me at once that the game app has crashed and allows me to review the problem in real time. Tells me in real time this is the problem. Securing database is very, very critical. Now understand, we're not talking about screen information, event information. You're talking about the mobile information or the entire mobile configuration that is all available. So if all of this, most of it comes under PII, which is personally identifiable information. Now, if I have to do that, then I have to ensure that I've secured the database. Not only across the world today, there are a lot of guidelines when it comes to data protection. So you want, and if those guidelines are not followed, there are fines attached which are very high amounts. So you want to ensure that everything it happens correctly and is being, all the data is being stored in a secure manner. From a customer's point of view, look for, does the tool have accessible and support customer support? Another crucial point. I get the tool and suppose I get stuck in part of the tool. I do not know how to do it, how to deal with customer support. So how fast is the customer support? Is the customer support available 24/7? Is there a chatbot that will quickly help me with the basic functionalities of the app? Test a tool before purchasing it without the need to give credit card information. Does the free trial enable you to test all the functions? Does the analytics tool have sufficient educational resources and tech support? What's the price on how does the tool offer money for value for money? When it comes is test the tool before purchasing it. Most of the tools do come with a trial period, but there are some tools that do not come with a trial period. So you might have to ask for a demo or contact the sales department to give you a free trial. At times, free trial does require a credit card information that you can choose, but then that is a requirement so that you do not forget to deactivate or you do not keep using the free trial continuously. But then you give that and everything, have sufficient educational resources. So if I'm a newbie at using the tool or I'm giving the tool to somebody, does they have informed information about how it has to be installed, how it has to be integrated with the app? And finally, the value for money is what we spoke about. User content on mobile. Gaining a user trust should be primary for a business. The data privacy laws are gold standard for the protection of consumer information. Understanding how to consent under the specific jurisdiction helps a business remain compliant. Also, apps remain in line with application store policy. Be sure to check App Store and Google Play policy. This is what we spoke about where I said that security becomes a must on any app, especially when I'm storing user information. When to ask for user consent, display users a consent box before collecting any data. Ask for permission before collecting the following data: name, identification numbers, location data, and online identifier. So anything that could identify a user with that particular information, you want to ask for consent before you do that. Users must be aware of data collecting and being collected and its purpose. Data collection for purpose such as A/B testing, analytics, and remarketing or on behalf of third parties should remain separate, and by default consent boxes should remain unticked. If the user doesn't give their consent, they should still be user able to use the app. Now there are quite a few apps or quite a few restrictions where if I do not give my consent, I will not be able to use the app. But most of the time, even if you notice, your location data asks is when do you want to use it while using the app, only this one time. Because like I said, today data collection, data security has become a priority, and it is important that you basically ensure that you follow the compliances. So any information that is PII, the user should know that data is being collected and where is it going to be used for that matter. Even if you notice, when it says ask you to subscribe you to email as and on, it gives you an option to unsubscribe if you want to. Thank you.